Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
But if there's not enough to worry about in our home, we'll go to like the neighbor's home to see. Do you have anything to worry about in your home? No? What about your friend's house? Can I go to their house, see if there's anything to be worried about? And then when we find a couple, oh, we call Betty and Sue. Oh, Betty, you gotta hear this. This is so important.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was telling us the story of Daniel and the lion's den. We learned that prayer increases our trust and confidence. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to take it a step further and show us the importance of making time to pray. Did you know that the more time you take to pray, the more time you'll have in your day? Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Daniel, the man of prayer.
Quietly, he went down to where the cistern was. He pulled the lid off and he said, Daniel, has your God whom you serve been able to save you from the lions? And from the dark recesses of that cistern, he heard a voice say, I'm cool, dude, I'm cool. That's a Living Bible's translation. He said, King Darius, may you live forever. My God whom I serve has been able to save me from the jaws of the lion, for in his eyes I have been proved innocent. Well, Darius is so excited. Let's read what happens in Daniel 6 and verse 23 under number 1. Would you read it with me? Go. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. And it delights God when through prayer, you can build a trust and a confidence in God, and God reciprocates by intervening for you. Where does he get that kind of trust and courage? From hanging out a lot with God and talking to him about everything. Do you understand how it buoys your spirit? And we find in Isaiah 30 a similar passage. And would you read it with me out loud? Go. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in quietness and trust is your strength. One of the things that prayer does, as a consequence, as a result, is the Lord gives you confidence and trust, and that delights God. Now, some people say, when you talk about prayer, I tell you, I don't want to pray. You know why? Because it takes up too much time. I don't have time for prayer. Folks, listen, you know what I have found? Prayer doesn't take up time. You know what does? Stupid decisions I've made because I didn't pray. And when you make a dumb decision because you didn't pray, you didn't consult with God, you just acted on your own, now it takes you 6 months to clean up the doo-doos that your dumb decision caused. Isn't that how many of you would agree and say, yep, that's me, yep, rest of you are lying. Because we all will do that. We'll make dumb decisions. And you know what takes up time? Not prayer, not praying. And then I make dumb decisions, and then it kills a year of my life from having to backtrack and backpaddle out. And if I would have taken some time to talk to God about it a little bit more, he would have changed my heart, changed my perspective, emboldened my spirit, given me more of an extraordinary spirit to overcome that desire, that tendency, craving, and it would have saved me a year or more. No, folks, praying doesn't take time. Would you write down a number 2? It optimizes your time. It optimizes your time. It saves you years. It optimizes your time. I found that a lot of times what steals our time is just not praying. And then the crazy decisions come. Oh, and it's sort of like this. It may not even be going into sin, the activity of sin. You know what else takes up my time? It's sort of like this. It's just a considering of sin. It's being vulnerable to it. It's sort of like this. Let's say there's a line right here at this podium, and right here is one room, and then another room. This is called the room of temptation. This is called the room of the action of sin. Now, a lot of times we're out here and we see somebody, say you're married and you see some chick and you go, ooh, she's nice, ooh. Or a lady, oh, he's a hunk, a hulk, a hulk. And what we do is we go into this room of temptation. Click, oh, 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 it could be, it might be, maybe. Now, let me tell you what happens during this time. Now, this could be 4, 5, 6 months you're in this room. Now, you haven't moved into the room of sin, but you're in this room of temptation. And you know what? This romanticizing, this aura, this na-na land takes up your mind time, takes up every waking moment. And you know what? To keep this alive, it's got to feed on something. So the attention that should have been given to your spouse or to your children or to the Lord, you eat that up and you burn it as fuel here for this romanticizing. And then the attention that should be given over here, it eats that. So the affection is displaced, the attention is eaten up, even the gratefulness for what you've had is used as food to keep this ooh energy alive. Because he's got to eat up something. And then let's say you're in a church service and all of a sudden, because you can be a Christian and you'll be in this temptation box for a long time. If you stay there, it won't be long because you'll be so vulnerable to sin, you'll actually go into the next room. And this, though the room of temptation eats up from your past, you go into the room of sin, it'll eat not only your past, it'll eat your future. Because the wages of sin is death, both sides. Now, let's say you haven't gotten into that. You're just in this room of temptation. You can be in this for months, and all this time will be wasted because the affections that belong to your wife, children, your God is being eaten up in here. But let's say you're in a church service or you're praying, Lord, what do you think, Lord? And all of a sudden, God gives you clarity. Wayne, what in the world are you doing in that mindset? Get out of that world. And like the prodigal son, when he came to the pigs and was eating the slop, and all of a sudden the Bible says he came to his senses. What am I doing here? My father's servants have more than I have. I shall go back to my father. All of a sudden, a point of clarity came. And just like that, same thing will happen. Let's say you're in this temptation or this room of temptation that you're thinking about romanticizing, whatever it might be. And in the midst of a service, God speaks to you and your inner person is woken up. Whoa, what am I doing? This is crazy. This is a dead end. And you get out of this room, click. And then you know what returns? All of a sudden, your affection returns. Your faith returns. Your sanity returns. Your attention returns. Everything comes back. Kind of like I say, country western music. You know what you get when you play country western music backwards? You get your pickup back, your wife back, your friends back, your money back. Everything starts to come back. And you think about it and you say, you know what? I wasted 3 months in that. And just by the grace of God, I didn't go into the other room. But I wasted a lot of time. If I would be a person of prayer that hangs out with God more, talking to Him about everything, I will come to my senses a lot faster in all of these situations. And it won't take time. Prayer will save me years. That's exactly what Jesus says here in Matthew 26. Would you read it with me? Go. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Not even into sin, into temptation. And continue. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It optimizes your time. But here's one of my favorite. Would you write in number 3? It increases your spirit. It increases your spirit. Folks, here's the whole message. Take the time and energy required to bolster your spirit, to invest in your spirit so that you maintain it and keep it healthy. Because once your spirit flags, everything follows suit. If you've got a low tide of your spirit, if everything is on the verge of exasperation. Well, if your spirit is low, I tell you, it'll suck everything into this vortex. When I used to record a lot, we had a studio and we kept it a little colder because of all of the electronic equipment. And because of the heat of the equipment, it drew dust. So what we had to do engineering-wise is to keep the air pressure in the studio at a positive pressure, more so than the outside. Because if it were the same or a negative pressure, every time the door would open to the outside, dust would come on in and it would stick to all the instruments and ruin it. So we had to keep a positive pressure so that each time the door was open, the air didn't come in, the air what? Went out. And what it did was it pushed out the dust and pushed out the dirt or anything that was there along the edge. And the same thing is true with our spirit. If you don't keep your spirit buoyed through prayer, if it's not a building an extraordinary spirit, it'll be a vacuum and you'll be susceptible to every disease, every temptation, every trend that comes down the pike. And it'll just stuck inside of you and you'll be clogged in no time. But prayer keeps that spirit broadened in such a way that it's a positive air pressure, as it were, on the inside. So that's where it comes to the number three, which is probably the most important. When you and I pray, it increases your spirit. It increases your spirit. Boy, I tell you, that's one of the best things you can do for yourself. Even in business, invest and maintain a positive, extraordinary spirit. Because if I were an employer, you were an employee, and you had an extraordinary spirit, I know that you can't be trained for every problem that comes your way. But if you have an extraordinary spirit, I'll know that when you encounter a problem, you'll have the stuff, the fortitude, the wisdom, and the depth to resolve that problem in a delightful way. And if you're an employee that has an extraordinary spirit, you are pure gold to your business. Such was the case of Daniel. Let's read what takes place here in Daniel 6 and verse 3. Go. Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Did you catch that? He began to distinguish himself among all the other commissioners. Why? Because he had an extraordinary spirit. The result? The king was about to appoint him over the whole kingdom. It was that positive air pressure. Not only is that true, but let's look at what Proverbs says. Let's see how important your spirit is. Read with me Proverbs 18:14. Go. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Maintain your spirit. Keep it strong. And it's prayer that will result in an extraordinary spirit. People who hang around with God a lot and talk to Him about everything. No, it doesn't take time. It saves you years. Let's read the next one, Proverbs 17:22. Go. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So you know what I say? Would you write down in this next bullet, raise the tide of your spirit. Raise the tide of your spirit. Because your spirit is like a tide. And if it's low tide, you're in trouble. If that's how it's normal for you, there are some people that have a low tide spirit. And they kind of walk through life kicking stone. Oh, this is stupid. Why should I be here? Well, I don't know. Nobody likes me anyway. And your spirit is so low, the tide is so low, you're going to run into problems everywhere you turn. And we'll think it's everybody else to blame. Several months ago, as some of you know, I paddle a one-man canoe for exercise. We came around Diamond Head, and sometimes we catch a few waves in to just have some little bit of fun. And there was a big wave building, so I decided to catch it, and I started to paddle, and my boat went up. And when it did, it revealed all these coral heads popped out. And I was looking down, no way. It was a volcano field of lava staring at me because it was low tide. And I thought, whoa, and I tried to stop and get off of that thing, but that wave just pushed me into it and kaboom, it just went, just busted up my boat. Luckily, I stayed alive and I limped that boat in. And when I got to the shore, what do you think I did? You think I said, "Those Coast Guard people, they need to remove the coral from this whole place. There's rocks out there. What are they doing letting these rocks be everywhere? Dangerous." No, I didn't say that. But you know what I did say? "Wayne, next time, don't go trying to catch waves on low tide days. Let the tide come up. Because if the tide comes up, you'll skim right over them." You see, if you would liken your spirit to the tide of an ocean, if you think having a low tide is normal for you and you're always like that, you will face rocks and coral heads everywhere you turn. And you'll blame the Coast Guard, you'll blame your family, you'll blame the church, you'll blame people. But everywhere you turn, there's going to be coral everywhere. But it's not the coral that needs to be removed. It's the tide that needs to rise. Because when the tide is up, you can navigate like silk through all of that. It wouldn't bother you a bit. But if everywhere you turn, there's coral heads and problems, take a look at your spirit. Take time to pray, which means hang out a lot with God and talk to Him about everything. In the car, I'll say, "Lord, I'm going into the office. Lord, I've got this to do and that to do. What do you think? How should I respond to that? What's most strategic for the long run? Lord, how can I maintain, sustain this? Is that still something you are putting your hand on? Not putting your hand. Should we change this?" Talking to Him about everything. And there's times I go around the island. I sit by Makapu and I just stop and say, "Lord, how are we doing? Are we doing okay? Are there things I need to be thinking about? Maybe some things I shouldn't be thinking about. There's some habits I need to let go of that's destroying my life and taking up, eating my life up. Lord, what are they?" And the Lord will speak those to me in prayer or in conversation. And I'll make some changes. Just saved me 6 months. Just saved me a year. Just saved my marriage. Just saved my family. Just saved the church. Do you understand how much will be spared because you become a man or a woman of prayer? One man and a prayer can change the nations because it starts with our spirits. Does that mean you'll be immune from problems? No. Just raise the tide of your spirit, though, and an extraordinary spirit will be pure gold to the church, to the Lord. And it's not praying, it's the results of prayer that God says, "This man with an extraordinary spirit, this woman with an extraordinary spirit, this is the one that I will use in the harvest." It starts with prayer. And so raise the tide of your spirit. But let me tell you one, and I've got to add this in as we close. One of the things that will be so very important through prayer, would you write this down in the last bullet? That is this, that God will, in prayer, help you to know the difference between a concern and a responsibility. Now, I'm going to explain it in just a second. And a concern and a responsibility. You see, I'm going to talk to everybody. But can I just graciously, and I don't do this demeaningly, but just lovingly, I'm going to emphasize this to the sisters, because you need to hear this, all right? Because sisters are often much more sensitive than men are to different things going on in others' lives. So I just want to say this is really important for the sisters, okay? Because sometimes we have, you know, some stuff to worry about in our own home. But if there's not enough to worry about in our home, we'll go to like to the neighbor's home to see. Do you have anything to worry about in your home? No? What about your friend's house? Can I go to their house, see if there's anything to be worried about? Nothing? Could you hand me a magazine? Because there's surely somebody in there that I should worry about. And we just look for stuff to worry about. And then when we find a couple, oh, we call Betty and Sue. "Oh, Betty, you got to hear this. This is so important." Well, you know what happens? There's certain things in life that could be a concern, but you've got to delineate between what is a concern and what is your responsibility. If you mix those up, you'll think a concern is your responsibility. And then the weight starts adding to your life, and it comes out in gossip, or it comes out in slander, or it comes out in stories, or just comes out in stress. But we start taking all of these concerns as responsibility. It's in the midst of talking to God that he clears things up and he'll say, Wayne, that's a concern, but it ain't your responsibility. This is your responsibility and this, not this. Yeah, but Joe is struggling. It's a concern. You know what you do with concern? Intercede for them. You take that concern to the cross, and I got it. I'll take it from there. That's it. But if you don't, you'll make that your responsibility. It'll hang on to you. You'll dream about this stuff. It'll fill your day because you're making a concern a responsibility. Make sure that you know the difference between what is a concern and what is a responsibility. What is your responsibility? If you're a mom, it's your kids, it's your spouse, it's your spirit to maintain your own spirit, the clarity of thought, thinking to make wise decisions. If not, you'll take things that are just a concern and you'll make it, oh, my responsibility. And things that are your responsibility, oh, that's just a concern. You'll mix everything up. It will just ruin you. But in the midst of prayer, God will help you to know what is a concern and what is a responsibility. The negative effects, look at this. Proverbs 26, like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. God will, in prayer, as you talk with him, he'll say, Wayne, that's a concern. Bring it to me in prayer, but your responsibility's here. Take care of that. Otherwise, you won't take care of your responsibility, and you'll take a concern as it is, as if it were your responsibility, and everything will get mixed up. Prayer. When you hang out with God, as Daniel did, he'll give you confidence and trust, and you'll be someone who develops what the Bible calls someone with an extraordinary spirit. Have you been around those people? They come in the room, and it's like all the lights turn on when they enter. It's just cool. Person with an extraordinary spirit. Oh, it doesn't mean you'll be immune from problems. It just means you'll outlast them. You'll be like a steel vise. You'll be able to rise above it. And when God sees those kinds of people, he says, you're pure gold. I need you in the harvest. And he'll say, those are my favorite people. We spend a lot of time together. We want to be one of those people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I do. Let's all do the same. Let's stand together as we conclude. Would you bow your heads? We're going to pray and then we'll sing our final song. Lord, thank you so very much for your spirit that heals us, that guides us, that speaks to us. And as we hang out with you and talk to you often about everything, you begin to deposit in us wisdom and knowledge, the ability to resolve difficult problems, the explanation of enigmas, able to interpret dreams or to know what God, what you're saying in every situation. But all of that because you will have emboldened our spirit and we'll be a people where people look at us and say, they have, he has, she has an extraordinary spirit. May that be so with each of us. Thank you for walking with us and allowing us to do the same with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you clap to the Lord and say, thank you, thank you, thank you.
With grace and mercy. you have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Daniel, a Man of Prayer by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.